Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman.
For a Christian, the attitude we have towards this pandemic is completely different than it is for the rest of the world around us. The rest of the world around us does not live with hope. And so for them, safety is the highest good.
When you study biblical chronology, and if you're very careful about it and use careful use of the ancient sources, what you find out is the Bible is accurate over and over again.
I think really that the only two logical and reasonable options are to say Jesus claimed to be God, and either he understood himself to be God, or he was lying about being God.
This is Nancy from Fort Wayne. I listen to Issues while being isolated with the COVID virus. I am so thankful to have this program to help pass the time away.
The people of Israel, having only recently been delivered from slavery in Egypt, are now accusing Moses, and therefore accusing God, of having him brought them out of Egypt in order to die in the wilderness from hunger. They said it'd be better to have died at the hands of the Egyptians than to come out here and starve to death. Now they're grumbling against God. They're accusing God of, well, something that he did not do. He has just delivered them from slavery. How does God respond to that? Does he say, fine, go hungry or go back to Egypt? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, January the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's our weekly series through the Old Testament in a church. Here we'll be talking about manna from heaven with Dr. Ken Sherb. A little bit later, we'll discuss two issues with Dr. Michael New, visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. The Georgia Senate runoffs, what did we learn in particular about turnout, and are there comparisons with, well, the last runoff Senate race in 1992 in that state? And we'll talk about a new study of the effect of a Texas executive order on abortion in Texas and outside of Texas. Pastor Will Whedon joins us after that to study the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven, and then Joy Pullman of The Federalist will be alongside to talk about a non-governmental social credit system. It's kind of like a credit score, but it's, well, monitored by corporations. And China has one. You actually have a social credit score, and your access to all sorts of things is limited, just like a financial credit score. Your access to all sorts of things are limited or permitted by it. We'll talk about that coming to America in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us for our weekly series through the Old Testament in a church year today to talk about manna from heaven, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, top of the afternoon to you. I mean, is that really a thing? I know people say top of the morning. Well, anyway, hi.
Before we get into the subject of manna from heaven, give us a little review of where we were last time.
Well, last time we said that the Lord delivers his people when their backs are to the wall. We were talking about when the Israelites actually left Egypt in the Exodus. And the Exodus, we said, was the great saving event of the Old Testament. And the high point of that great saving event was the crossing of the sea, when the Lord saved his people and defeated his enemies all in one fell swoop, as only he can. He was freeing his people from Pharaoh, who had been dead set against the Lord and his will and his ways, and God was freeing Israel to be his people and to serve him. And we noted last time, Todd, that in terms of personal application, nothing in the New Testament compares better to the experience of the Israelites going through the sea than baptism, which St. Paul noted. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Even before the New Testament, the rest of the Old Testament echoed with this event of the Exodus. For with this event, God was making himself a people and setting them on the path to the promised land. And the prophets, centuries later, constantly were reminding Israel of this event, of the Exodus, and particularly the sea crossing, when they condemned the legalism and ritualism and idolatry that had set in Israel and later Judah. And, of course, the prophets also told good news by talking about the Exodus. They proclaimed future deliverance in terms reminiscent of this event, including also the Messianic age. So it should come as no surprise that when Jesus was speaking with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration about his death and resurrection, which was the great saving event of all time, Luke says that the talk was about the Exodus. That's the word in the Greek, the Exodus that Jesus would accomplish at Jerusalem.
So what has transpired in Old Testament history between last time and today?
Well, there's really only one chapter in the Old Testament between what we were talking about last time in Exodus 14 and what we're going to be talking about today from Exodus 16, and that is, of course, chapter 15, most of which is the song of Moses and the Israelites that they sang after the great deliverance at the sea. And it contains things like this: I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. And then in this song come words that were eventually repeated by the prophet Isaiah, and we have taken this up into canticles that we sing in church. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And then a bit later in Exodus 15, it says, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. For indeed, Todd, God had fulfilled his promise from earlier in the book to redeem Israel with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And so this song in Exodus 15 is saying that the Lord is incomparable and that the Lord is king. And I like a point that my friend and yours, Dr. David Adams, makes about this song. Right within this song, right within Exodus 15, the emphasis switches. At first, it's talking about what kind of God the Lord is for Israel. But by the end of the song, it's talking about more what kind of people Israel is going to be for the Lord. Now, that's a switch in emphasis. It's not a complete change of subject. But that switch in emphasis doesn't only apply to the song in Exodus 15. It really applies to the entire book of Exodus up to this point and beyond this point. Up to this point, Exodus has been about what kind of God the Lord is for Israel. And then from this point on, it's going to be more emphasizing what kind of people Israel is going to be for the Lord. And not even that. The whole Pentateuch kind of divides right here in the same way. Up until this point, Exodus 15, the whole Pentateuch from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the rest of Genesis, all the way in Exodus up to this point, is about what kind of God the Lord is for Israel. And from this point on, it's more about what kind of people Israel is going to be for the Lord.
Here is the account in Exodus chapter 16. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day in the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether they walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came upon and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp, and when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And Moses said to them, Let no one leave any over until the morning. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot it melted. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The people of Israel ate the manna for 40 years, till they came to the habitable land. They ate manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan, and Omer is a tenth of an ephah. Take us through that, if you would. It's remarkable that the lack of food that the people are experiencing led the Israelites to grumble like this against God.
Yeah, they started actually complaining that they should never have left Egypt. Can you imagine that? They say, hey, at least in Egypt, there was plenty to eat. Now, it is true, ancient Egypt did enjoy quite a variety of foods. I think it's questionable at best whether the Israelites as slaves had access to all that great food. But in any case, here we are about a month after leaving Egypt, and they start murmuring and grumbling that they're being left by the Lord to die out there in the middle of nowhere, die of hunger. And then, of course, that murmuring, although it seems to be just directed against Moses, or maybe Moses and Aaron, it's really murmuring and complaining against the Lord, and Moses points that out. But still, the Lord promised, despite the grumbling, to give them food, because he had not forgotten his people. He was not abandoning his people. He was going to provide for them again in a wondrous way. And what's really remarkable, Todd, I think here, is that the Lord does not in the slightest recriminate them or punish them for their really very rebellious complaints. The people were provoking him. They were provoking him to wrath. Psalm 78 comments on this event and says that when the Lord heard their complaint, he was full of wrath because they did not believe in him. They did not trust his saving power, which, of course, had been on display for them in the Exodus. It's in effect like they were saying, well, okay, God, you helped us out a month ago. You got us across the sea and everything. You got us out of Egypt. But what have you done for us lately? Well, still, despite all that, God is still dealing with them in mercy.
What did he do?
Well, that very evening, he sent plenty of quail just to sit on the ground, not to fly around, for them to catch. But that was not all. He was going to give them more food the next morning. The next morning, he sent them something even more remarkable, and the like of this they had never seen. With the dew that had fallen on the ground, there was also this fine flake-like thing. You can just imagine the Israelites looking out of their tents, seeing it in the morning, going out to get a closer look, maybe tentatively pulling off a piece and putting a little bit in their mouths. this was the bread that they were being given by none other than the Lord. He was creating it where it did not exist. As Israel was bound for the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the Lord said, he was giving his people a little foretaste with this fine food. It tasted like honey. And he was going to feed them on this stuff for the next 40 years. Men ate the bread of angels during this time, Psalm 78 says. Day after day it would fall, and they gathered it. It could not be hoarded or saved. It would go bad if you tried to do that. This really was their daily bread. And then the next day, there it was again, and the next day, stretching out into months and years. If the Israelites were wondering what God had done for them lately, well, here was the answer. It came every single morning, and it kept coming. It was continuing to be that he provided for their bodily necessities by giving them this unique food. And it was unique. When they first looked at it, they said, "What is it?" And that name stuck. And in Hebrew, it's manna.
So Exodus 16 notes there that they, as you said just a moment ago, ate manna for 40 years.
Yeah, and in time, sinners can all appreciate this, they grew tired of the manna. Remarkable and life-saving and miraculous as it was, they got tired of the manna. The book of Numbers records that they started complaining about the lack of variety in their diet. They probably kept trying to come up with new ways to eat manna. I mean, I've heard people kidding about this. Like, they came up with manna burgers and manna casserole and manna surprise. So, again, they were asking God, manicotti, maybe? Huh? Anyway, they were asking God, in effect, again, what he had done for them lately. And maybe that question sounds familiar to you and me, because we ask this of the Lord also in our own ways. And we ask it despite everything that he's done for us. Luther had a great point about this. He says, sometimes we try to love God, and it sounds very pious. We say we love God, but we love him the way lice love a tramp. The sole concern of the lice is to feed on that tramp and suck his blood. We can apparently be concerned about God and love God, but it turns out not to be concerned about him at all. We're using him. We want him for what he's going to do for us, and we're really concerned about what he's done for us lately. Because we all harbor certain anticipations about our job, our friends, our level of comfort, our families, all sorts of things. And if God does not come across with what we want in the ways we want, at the times we want, well, then the murmuring can so easily begin. And as in the case of the Israelites, this murmuring is really for us, as it was for them, just a symptom. The basic sin is our selfishness, this damnable selfishness that says, give me what I want, God, but as for you and me, well, let's not get too chummy. Don't get too close.
It's our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. Today we're talking about manna from heaven with Dr. Ken Sherb. So was God addressing that as well, their spiritual need? Is this about more than just God providing for their bodily needs? We'll answer that question next. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Majoring in the Minors, The Blood of the Righteous, Lament for a Doomed City, Don't Be Fooled, and The Mission That Goes Beyond the Apostles' Death. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are walking through the Old Testament in a church year today, talking about manna from heaven with Dr. Ken Sherb. He's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament during the church year. Not only during a year of the church, but actually in the sequence of the Old Testament along with the sequence of the church year. You could find out more about these at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Old Testament Collection by Dr. Ken Sherb, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, Ken, is God doing more here than simply providing for the bodily needs of his people?
Well, God was definitely addressing the relationship between Israel and himself. When he miraculously provided this food, this manna, he says that they would know that he was indeed the Lord their God. They would know that it was he who brought them out of Egypt. And in this case, even when they were complaining, even when they were not trusting his saving power, still the Bible says God opened the doors of heaven and he rained down on them manna to eat. They needed the food that he was providing for their stomachs, but of course, as you suggest, Todd, the more serious need was for them to know him by faith and so get his salvation, his eternal salvation. Now, that's what Jesus wanted people to get to, and in Galilee, some 1,500 years later, Jesus once fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and the next day, some of these people came seeking him out. They were hoping to get another free meal. And he told them not to labor for food that perishes, of which manna was a great example, but rather to labor for the food that endures to eternal life. That's what he said, but they didn't get it. They referred to this incident in Exodus 16, and they mentioned that their fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. And Jesus pointed out that it was really God who gave the manna, not Moses. And now, Jesus adds, look what God is giving you. Look what the Father has for you right under your nose. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
So Jesus really ramped that up. He wasn't talking about temporarily filling the stomach.
No, he wasn't. Because even manna, miraculous as it was, wondrous as it was not going to bring eternal life. Those who ate the manna died in the wilderness. Jesus told the Galileans that. And then he went on, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. See, Jesus would lay down his own life as a sacrifice for us all. By his death and resurrection, we live. Luther commented on what Jesus said here in John 6, and he observed, in all of Holy Writ, there is hardly a more pointed statement than this, that Christ is the God-given bread and food, and that he who eats this bread shall live forever and be satisfied. Now, Todd, when you eat bread, you are in no way working on it. You're not improving upon it by eating it. You're simply receiving it. And when you receive it, it benefits you. When we believe in Christ, we receive him. And he gives us all his benefits. Believing in Christ is eating the bread of life. Luther says it's like having swallowed the antidote to death and all of God's wrath. When we believe in Christ by the power of God, we are immune, Luther says, to death and wrath. So great as that manna in the wilderness was, Christ is the real bread of life. He turns out to be God's great antidote for murmuring.
Give us some review questions to help us remember what we've said here.
Okay, true or false? The Exodus was so impressive that Israel's trust in God's saving power remained at a high level for months. False. The murmuring and complaining we've been talking about here in Exodus 16 happens about a month after the Exodus. How quickly we can forget. True or false? Manna could not be saved. True. Now, here's a little technical point that we didn't go into earlier. It does bear mentioning, though. On the sixth day, you could save it, because on that day, the Lord provided enough for 2 days, so there was a supply of manna to eat on the seventh day. They didn't have to go out and gather manna on the seventh day, but otherwise, you couldn't even keep it for 1 day. True or false? Sinners can want to use God to get what pleases them. That's true. And I think that calls for no further comment from me. We all know it. True or false? Jesus spoke of the manna in the wilderness when he called himself the bread of life. That's true. The Galileans brought up the whole point about the manna, but Jesus elaborated on it. He said it was the Lord who gave that manna. It wasn't Moses. And the Lord gave it freely. Remember, back in Exodus 16, he gave that manna to grumblers despite their unbelief, and now Jesus was on the scene giving himself freely, giving his gifts freely to another group of stiff-necked people. And contrary to their expectation, they did not have to earn the salvation that he brought. And unlike manna, Jesus pointed out that he is the bread of life, giving life that lasts to all eternity.
So one more time, Ken, how can we apply this Old Testament incident of the manna in the wilderness to the Christian life and Christian living today?
After the Lord took Israel out of Egypt with all that impressive, miraculous activity, the people still lost confidence in him. In effect, they wondered what he had done for them lately. Well, the Lord did, and he does continue to provide for his people. And of course, in Christ, he provides for our spiritual and eternal life, not just temporal life. It's not that God takes all the mystery out of things, though, because he doesn't. There are still times when we look at some aspect of his provision for us and wonder precisely what that is. It's like the manna of old for Israel. We may not have the answer to that question, what is this, other than to say it's what the Lord is giving us. He knows exactly what to give us and when. So if today the question before us has been, what had the Lord done for the Israelites? In our next few topics here, Todd, in Old Testament order, we're going to go further into the book of Exodus and also the book of Leviticus and answer that question. What does the Lord do for sinners? And in brief, the answer is he gave a prophet like Moses, he gave the covenant or testament, and he gave the covering or atonement. We're going to cover all of those in the next few weeks, and we will, of course, see Christ in all of those.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a CD series of sermons,
titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
Pleasure to talk to you, Todd.
We'll be talking about the Georgia Senate runoffs and a new study of a Texas executive order and its effect on abortion inside and outside that state with Dr. Michael New of the Charlotte Lozier Institute next. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking to use your Thrivent funds to beautify your church? Never fear. Ad Crucem has the solution. See our liturgical banners, baptismal or confirmation certificates, gifts, Christ-focused greeting cards, and posters. Alternatively, stock up on a set of Christmons or Christmas ornaments. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
O morning star, O morning star, shine with a bright throne.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.